Hey, you like making great money, don't you, Joe?
Well, I love making money.
Yeah. Well, there's a really cool opportunity that I got to tell you about. Well, you already know about it, driving with Uber.
Yes.
You know, Uber's that popular smartphone app that connects riders with drivers. I take Uber everywhere.
Oh, my God. Because Uber, especially in L.A., everyone hates traffic. But when you get Uber, you know, you get a nice guy or a nice girl. And they put the tunes on you want, and you give them 5 stars, and it's a nice, smooth ride.
My buddy's driving with Uber, and he was telling me that he's going to try to do a podcast out of his Uber.
Wow.
An Uber podcast. Yeah. But, you know, he's his own boss. And you got to love that.
Own boss.
That's the cool part. And they earn great money. And it's easy to start. You just need a car and a license, something I don't have, but most people do. So, you know, it's pretty easy. And you know, it's a good way to work around your schedule, too.
Well, I think that's what makes Uber great is artists and fun types of people can do it to make a little extra cash and then keep doing their dreams, live their dreams, and still make cash.
Yeah, that's the key to it.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's a wonderful opportunity. All right, if you've got a car and a license, put them both to work for you and start earning serious life-changing money today. Sign up with Drive with Uber and visit drivewithuber.com. That's Drive with Uber, drivewithuber.com.
Sign up, everybody.
Come on, you guys.
I need to ride home.
Knock it off. He needs to get home. All right, gang, welcome to Puck Off, and look who's over there. Come on, Joe Bartnick, my buddy. How are you?
How you doing, Fraze? Honor doing your other podcast yesterday.
Thank you for doing that.
Let me know when it's out. I'll punch it out and tweet it or whatever.
I will if I can find out myself.
I know.
I have no idea when those things...
Oh, really? Play.
Yeah, I don't know.
For those who don't know, I was over at Podcast One, the Fraze and Bentley experience.
Fraze and Bentley.
Great stuff. And you've been killing it on KLOS, not just Sunday nights now. You're doing it every night.
Well, I had to clone myself to get in there.
I know. You're now like at clubs and on there at the same time. You're like
How does that happen?
You're a magician.
I don't know. It's a lot of driving. That's why I got an Uber everywhere.
Yeah, and we got an Uber. I went Uber an hour and a half every... I mean, forget getting paid for this show now. I just want Uber rides to the studio.
Yeah.
That's in my next big contract.
They are our sponsor.
Speaking of contracts, we have a very special guest. He's kind of world-renowned. He's a famous author. Stand-up. Once a stand-up, always a stand-up.
That's right.
As we say. The very funny, the talented, the Mike Schmidt.
Gentlemen. Yeah.
How are you, buddy?
I'm good, thank you. I don't know why
applause.
Speaking of contracts gets me in. That's the weirdest segue of all time.
We're not big on segues here. We're big on Uber ads.
Nice. Yeah.
Well, it's good to see you.
Thank you for having me.
And
I appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you for coming in today.
I worked with you at the Laugh Factory in 91 or 92 a million years ago.
Is that right,
indeed,
really?
My friend Rich used to write for you.
Oh, is that right,
yes,
Rich?
Sir.
Yeah, Rich.
Absolutely, yeah.
Oh, that's right, man. Rich Stein.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Rich Stein's cool, man.
Absolutely. So
there's only like 3 degrees of Fraser Smith. There's 6 of Kevin Bacon, but there's only about 3 of Fraser.
Well, I did like Richie Stein. He's a cool dude.
I like him. Big
funny,
fan.
Funny guy.
Yeah, absolutely. And my connection to you is I think I rode in the same Uber car as you like 3 weeks after you were in it.
Did it smell like weed?
Well, that could be any Uber.
Yeah, that could be the driver.
Well, it's good to see you again, man.
Thank you. I'm glad. And is there a language thing? I need to know that right up top. I don't want to be that guy.
No, we're fine.
We're not Def Comedy Jam, but we're not.
All right. Making sure
we're not G-rated.
Cool.
I'd say the Cosby Show, but now it's getting a little crazy.
Yeah, you can't really use that as a
backbone anymore.
Yeah. So, Chicago.
Yes, sir.
Originally
from.
For you, yeah.
Yeah, been here a long time, but yeah, grew up and born and all that stuff in the city of Chicago. Huge fan. Love it. Still go back. I was just there last week, as a matter of fact, back and forth. I was in Pittsburgh, too, where you're from. So
there you go. Did you say hi to Hosa?
That's exactly what
I did.
Oh,
Jesus. the summer programming has knocked my brains out. I meant to say Kessel.
Okay. Yeah.
Did you see him at the original hot dog stand?
He was at Pimonti's.
Yeah.
He and I were there enjoying 4 sandwiches.
How good are those sandwiches?
Dude, ridiculous.
Like, really?
I don't even know, man. I'm just when I go there, that's what I do. I find a place and I'm like, all right, I'm gonna do this. And you're a little wary of it, you know, fries and coleslaw and the whole nine on top of it, and a ham and a turkey and a bacon and an egg, and it's all on giant white bread. And I'm like, I'm gonna do this. And it was fantastic. Like, really, it was so good.
It sounds good, man.
Yeah. It sounds like a mess initially, but I'll tell you what. what? I split one with my girl, and we had to because, I mean, I can't eat like I used to. But there are dudes that are just inhaling that.
Well, it is Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and a bite and then a bite. You know, like a bite, a chew, and a bite. This guy had like a system worked out. We watched him. We were fascinated. It was like being at a zoo.
Yeah, that's what my wife thought the first time she was in Pittsburgh. She couldn't believe the scene in Permanis.
Oh, man.
It's like a trough.
They put what? Anything you want on there? Or it's basically coleslaw, fries?
The standard's coleslaw and fries. I mean, that is a... Permanis is a coleslaw and fries. But the sandwiches, there's about 20 of them to pick from.
Yeah.
You know, I get an egg on mine no matter what. Usually a provolone and gabagool with an egg on top.
What is gabagool? I know it's a word.
That's like the Italian shorthand for capicola.
Oh, okay, cool.
It's just like Italians call it gabagool.
I see.
That's when I knew The Sopranos was for real, because the second episode they said gabagool. And okay. I'm like, oh, okay.
All right. Now I know how to stump Dom Herrera.
Well, I bet Dom's had some gabagool in his life.
Oh, I'm sure he has. Sure he has.
Well, how Italian is Bartnik? Well, let's get into that for just a second. Are you just knowing that from being there in osmosis, or are you?
I'm mostly Italian.
Oh, okay.
And a little bit mutt.
I see. Yeah, because Bartnik to me, there's not enough vowels in there for it to be Italian.
No. But look at my nose. I'm pretty much a...
True.
Yeah, you're
there right. Too.
No one ever confuses me. Like, I think you're a Swedish guy.
You're a gabagool. Yeah. Well, you know what? You got to be excited. Congratulations for your Blackhawks.
Thank you. I was very happy. It's a ridiculous time. You know, 3-6 years is just incredible.
It's pretty incredible.
Yeah, and then last year to lose to the Kings in the Game 7, which was crippling, you know, when it happened. But then they come back and rally.
So the Kings, me and Frazier, they're kind of our mistress team, we say, because we're allowed to have a West Coast.
Oh.
Because
I'm Red Wings.
And I'm a Penguin guy. So, you know, we live out here, hopefully trying to get some gigs with the Kings. So we're like, you know, hey, they're our mistress team.
Sure.
But obviously, as a Blackhawk fan, they're not your mistress team.
Yeah. I'm not like a psycho guy who hates, you know, I mean, I'm not a Red Wing guy, but I mean, I don't begrudge them any success. There are people who are like, I love the Hawks and I hate everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, even when I was a kid, I could see the value in a Dino Cicerelli in the North Stars. And I could see that those.
Now you're talking my heart. You know, I love Cicerelli.
Yeah. Dude.
Both. He did good work for both.
Yeah,
guys,
he did.
You know?
He did.
And so I didn't have true hatred. I mean, I don't like the Bruins. I mean, they're teams you don't like.
Yeah.
But I don't find myself, you know, just gritting my teeth at the Kings. Because I'll tell you what, when they won that series, and they won the Cup, you know, last year, they were just the skating dead. You could not beat them. You could not kill them.
They were.
We tried. Dude, Game 7, we had them down 2 goals in our building twice. And they came back and tied it
right.
In overtime. You're just you got to just stand back and go, dude, that's it.
And you can't hate Daryl Sutter.
No,
right.
He was a Blackhawk.
Yeah, he's the captain of the Blackhawks.
Yeah.
I mean, I still think when I hear the name Daryl Sutter, I still immediately think of him in a Blackhawk jersey.
Yeah, and he was our first coach. His first coaching gig was with us. Keenan hired him after Keenan bumped himself upstairs. but yeah, man, I loved Daryl Sutter, and Kopitar is just amazing. I mean, you have to respect amazing talent.
Well, and that was an amazing run they had.
Oh, so and still next year, even you know, you got to think because everybody's saying the Hawks mini dynasty and the cap era, you know, the Kings win next year. They got 3-5 or
well, that's
and
true.
And, so,
and they've got the team to do it.
What
they
do
added Lucic and they're
yeah. What do you think though? I mean, it's funny because our great friend and a regular guest Joe Kilgallen just cornered me the other day, and he's still mad about Saad.
Well,
I'm a little bit over it because I like the moves that Rutherford's made.
He's a huge
Saad
fan, and you know you can see why that guy played an amazing playoffs.
And he's from Pittsburgh. But how do you? I actually, in a way, I kind of think they're as much as Saad's clutch. As much as I love Saad, no one loves Saad more than I do. I almost think they're a better team now.
I don't know if I that's not a true statement. I think someone loves Saad more than you at this table. Don't say
no
one. You can't own Saad.
That's funny. Well, you know, that's right, man.
No, yeah.
But
he's your guy. But I mean, they really got a good haul for him.
Well, I'll tell you, if I was going to buy a sweater, I would have bought a Saad sweater because I thought he was going nowhere.
I went as a Penguin.
Yeah, it's that tricky thing where it's like you're going to buy a team guy. You got a guy, the guy who's never going to leave.
Yeah,
you know, so and so Kane and Taves, you know, they're the guys, and you know they're never going anywhere. But I thought Saad was the new like Keith. He was never leaving.
Well, the way he played, you know.
Yeah, and then when they won the cup, he was you know hugging guys and saying I'm never leaving. And Bowman said we're getting it done no matter what. And then he asked for 6-5.
I think.
Yeah.
But I think that was a little bit of they got in a fight one night and then they did things they kind of regret. I think Saad would have asked for less money, and I think Bowman would have taken a deep breath and they would have worked something out.
Well, Saad seemed to be upset, you know, really upset about it. He was mad at his agent.
Yeah.
And
I think that's a lot of gamesmanship. You think after it was the fact gamesmanship too? Because yeah. he still wants to be loved by the Chicago fans, and he doesn't want to look like a guy who was a mercenary who took the money. But in all honesty, take the money. I don't ever begrudge an athlete taking the larger offer. It makes complete sense. You have such a small window to make that money, and he's won cups with the Hawks already. So now it's time to do for you a little
and
bit.
Coming, that's kind of true. Coming from Pittsburgh, it's having two guys already that make over $10 million.
Yeah.
It's hard to get every, and you're going to have to pay Duncan Keith, and you can't only have four guys on the team.
Well, Keith, they got to pay Seabrook. Keith's locked. Keith's locked up.
But they're still
up.
Paying him, though.
True. I mean, but Seabrook next year is a free agent, and that's the guy.
Oh, you want to hold on to Seabrook?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And now you're going to want to hold on to Tara Vinen now.
Of course. And you bring in Anisimov, who they wound up giving 5 years to. They got creative. I love seeing.
I love that too, because you know what? A lot of teams, when they win. Guys tend to scatter, but they try to hold on as many as they can.
Yeah.
Whereas Hawks seem to be actually planning for the future.
They have a core, and they do draft very well. But they also, they went ahead and they signed a lot of guys who were those, college free agents who were. They were really in it on Mike Riley, who's a defenseman who wound up signing with the Wild, and it came down to the Wild and the Hawks. But the guy's a co-owner of the Wild, his dad, so he had an edge. So they signed him. But for them to bring in the Russians and for them to look at overseas, and it's smart because they go ahead and bring in as much talent as they possibly can to surround the core guys, and they can let guys go.
They also got some good guys from Columbus, a couple of those young guys, right?
They picked the right guys to keep.
Yes.
And the right guys to give away.
Yeah.
From the very beginning. From the first one they won.
Yeah.
I mean they dumped that was the big dump. That's when they dumped like half the team.
Well they truly had to.
Right.
And a guy like they had to let an Andrew Ladd go.
Right.
Which I would have preferred you keep him in Bufflin, of course.
Big Buff is a big fan.
We're fans of his.
Fans of Big Buff.
Yeah. Yeah. But
what about Frazier's second favorite player? Next to Gustav Nyquist is Big Brian Bickle.
That's my boy.
Do
you like him, Mike?
I loved him until this year. He kind of went in the tank.
Yeah, he didn't have a great year this year.
He doesn't fit their game anymore. You know what I mean? It's one of those things where in the regular season, they're a fast team that breaks out of the zone, and Bickle's kind of lagging. And in the playoffs, though, you needed him. When they won the Cup two, three years ago, just him planted in front of Rask.
He's got the muscle.
Great playoffs. Yeah. He's so good. And his hands were great.
Yeah.
This year, he seemed to step a step slow. And I don't know if the team got faster around him and chose to run a different system that he couldn't keep up with, but he had maybe nagging injuries. I don't know. I mean, I do love him. I love a physical guy, but he's really the only physical presence they have, and I'm wondering if maybe you get rid of that and bring in another guy who fits the system. Because, they paid him too much. They paid him off of his playoff performance.
True. But you do need a physical guy.
True.
I would give him another run this year. And if you don't like what he's doing,
as a Red Wing fan, I want to get him. I want him, man.
I know. I heard last week you were talking about it, and I'm obviously they're still trying to move him because they want to give Marcus Kruger money because Marcus Kruger is a restricted free agent.
Yeah,
and that's a key guy for their special teams. So he's willing to wait, but they're just having so much trouble moving Bickle.
They did get some muscle though. I mean, Ryan Garbutt is a garbage man.
Yes.
I like that guy a lot. Trops a big boy. He's not as bruising as Bickle, but he's a big kid.
Yeah.
Marco Dano's coming on.
That guy's going to be good.
The Rangers haven't been the same since they lost Anisimov.
Yeah.
Brad Richards, come on. You knew if he just hung around, he was going to be clutch when it mattered because they don't just hand out Conn Smythe trophies.
Hey, we love
him. And he came through.
Yes.
He really came. So, but they had, they had to lose him.
And we love getting them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love getting them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah.
That was a big move for Detroit. But as much as I loved Oduya when he was with New Jersey.
Yeah.
He's just steady.
Oh, Oduya, man.
And he plays hurt. But that trade, to get back Trevor Daley, who I thought played a hell of a year last year, and Garbutt, I think that was a good trade, man.
It was a nice move. I mean, they had to move Sharp because they had to move his money, and to go ahead and bring in another defenseman because they had so much trouble in the playoffs on the blue line last year because of the injuries and because, they gambled on team and it totally blew up in their face.
I knew that was a total mistake.
They wanted him. They gave up prospects for him. And if he was healthy, maybe he gets the job done. But he was just so out of his element, and he did not match even the speed of the game. It was just really
rough. It was obvious, wasn't it? Yeah.
And it left them in such a lurch. But so to bring in a Daley, I think, is is great, and so they can let an Oduya go, and they got so many kids coming
up. Well,
they
just couldn't pay Oduya. I'm sure they wanted. See, that's what I really thought was why Saad was sacrificed, because I thought they were going to have to pay Oduya.
Well, they wanted to.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's just they can't. They have no room for
everybody. They don't have any room.
Right. Yeah, so they had to let him go, and Dallas made a nice move by getting him. I like that Dallas did this offseason.
Oh, they did a lot, didn't they?
Dallas is coming on strong. I mean, they finally got a goaltender, too.
True.
I mean,
they're going to be tough.
It's a great Lindy Ruff. Yeah. The great Lindy Ruff.
By the way, did Sharp not have a great goal, though?
Oh, it was fantastic. Yeah, and you mentioned last week, you said, you know, it was a tough loss for them, and he's a tough loss in the room, I think, more so even than on the ice, because he had a tough year on the ice last year, but I think in the room, he was a guy who was part of the core, and they were all friends, and they all knew one another, and they bonded, and for, you know, even Duncan Keith said, it was a rough year, but Sharpie was always there for me to lean on, and there was a bunch of rumors and a bunch of nonsense, and Keith denied them all, but then, you know, I think the hardest loss is losing Sharp in the room, because they've been together for so long, to lose a guy like that is tough, but, I mean, it's just such a weird thing in the cap area.
I think that's tough with the cap.
I think that's another reason, though, why I wouldn't trade Bickle until the middle of the year. I would keep a few guys around and know what it's like to win three rings.
I'd get him over to the Red Wings as soon as possible. Come on.
All right.
No, but I don't think you want to get rid of – there's a lot of new guys there now.
Yeah. They have to keep some semblance of the team and the structure and have these new guys come in and see what it was like.
Right.
Even Antoine Vermette came over last year, and he said, you know, he was the man in Phoenix. And then he comes over to the Hawks, and he's a third-line dude, and then he's scratched a couple of times, and he's having trouble fitting in and not learning the system real quick. And Quenneville doesn't mess around, because again, they're a business. You know, a lot of teams are like, "Yay, we're playing hockey." The Hawks are like, "We're here to win."
Yeah.
Like you know from the many years of the Red Wings being amazing, and the Penguins as well.
Right.
Those teams almost become like this weird corporation. Like it's like, "Oh yeah, you were over in Phoenix and that was a lot of fun, but now you're here at Apple." And,
yeah, it's all business.
Get results.
Well, you know I mean, under Disco Dan Bylsma, it did become Disneyland. So I forgot we'd like to have a real coach.
But you're right about that, and I know what you mean. But Vermette, I loved him in the playoffs.
Huge fan. I would have loved for them to be able to step up, but obviously Phoenix was just like, no, and they paid him way too much for the Hawks to even think about, but he came on and he started to win draws, and then he got those key goals.
He's got that great shot.
And he and Tara Vinen looked so good together. You're just like, oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a little, people are talking about Tara Vinen at center, and I don't see it. I mean, he's so small. I mean, I loved him on the wing, and I loved his speed there, and he was in the corners and doing a great job, so it'll be interesting to see what they wind up doing, because Anisimov's clearly the two center behind Taves.
Yeah.
And so I guess that means they're going to play Tara Vinen on the third line.
Well,
Shaw
can play center, can he?
He plays it in the playoffs, but I think he's better on the wing. You know, and so that's why people are saying Tara Vinen and Mike center the third line.
I think in the West especially, your third line center's got to be able to carry some water.
The West is so evil.
It is, isn't it?
It's just crazy.
It's an arms race at center, too.
Kings didn't make the playoffs last year. That's all you need to say. You know, and the Canucks are making moves. I think the Kings.
Let me tell you something. The Canucks got the wrong Sutter.
Not a fan?
Well, as a person, great guy. As a Sutter, I think some of the
Sutter, that's like they're their own subset of human
beings. I think as a Sutter, I think some of the girl Sutters, I think, have more kahunas, more onions.
Oh, no.
No, come on now. He scores a couple shorty goals, but you know his nickname was Flat Stanley. So he got
really?
No muscle. He got pushed over all the time. But, and then we got Nick Bonino for him.
Bonino and Glendening. Glendening, former Hawk.
Yeah, it was funny because they said Glendening, and I'm like, geez, he was in Vancouver. This is the greatest trade I've ever heard.
Nice.
But we opted the draft pick, but it gave us the money to go get Fear.
Yeah.
And I think Fear is a great forward.
He's back in December?
Maybe even sooner, but who cares? I just want him in April.
Okay.
He can take the whole year.
Exactly.
He can take the year off. You know,
but you say that, but then a Teeminen shows up with a blood disease, and a guy can't even get his legs back.
Teeminen was a skirt 6 years ago. He must give nice interviews. He's lived off a reputation.
How are you disrespecting Kimmo Teeminen, a Finnish legend?
Because I saw Kimmo Teeminen take 6 seconds into a playoff series, take one hard check, and be out for the rest of the series.
You're too hard on Kimmo.
He
did look a little lost there in the.
Oh, it's terrible.
He looked like me out there.
Yeah.
People skating around him. He looked like Steve Burns schooling me at the comedy.
Do you think about your backup goalie? Darling?
Yeah.
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 Scott Darling. Well, he's actually from a town near my hometown. And I mean, he saved us in that playoff game.
He did.
He came through and he brought that, because they were down 3-0 in Nashville and they yanked Crawford. And then all of a sudden, and it's again, it's that team where, you know, again, watching Detroit so many times in Pittsburgh, you're like, well, we're never out of this. You know what I mean? It's just a matter of time until they turn it on. And if they get a goal here, the 3-goal lead is just, it's, that's the snooze alarm of hockey. You know what I mean? If a team gets a 3-goal lead, they just seem to go into this weird cruise control, and then the other team chips away and
it's
bang,
a wake-up
bang,
call.
Bang,
yeah.
Yeah, and everything changes. Teams just rest on their laurels. Every team, not just the Hawks, anybody, when you see it in the playoffs, a team gets a 3-0 lead, you're like, this game's not over. Well, they're going to go in the shell.
And you knew Crawford would come on. I mean, you know, he was choppy there in that series at the beginning.
Yeah.
And that's why they had to bring Darling in.
Well, Nashville was a good team. Dude, Nashville's
they're good, though. You're
brutal.
Right.
It's
they're
crazy.
Good. And that was a little scary for you guys at the beginning of that series.
Absolutely, yeah.
Darling just absolutely, he won the save of the year on our show.
That one against the Rangers?
No, his behind the back save.
Oh, that, okay.
I mean,
he's a talented kid.
You know, he saved their bacon, and then the cream just rose to the crop. I mean, they missed their goal. I mean, they missed their number one defenseman there, but still, I mean. That
well, it's good to have a backup.
It's Nashville. I mean, Forsberg was a freshman.
Yeah. The fact that they got Seth Jones in the draft, I was so furious because, again, you've already – their defensive core was already so talented. And then you get Jones and you put him in. So their top four is ridiculous. Is it Roman Hammerlick? Who's that dude? Roman Josi. Boom.
Yeah.
Dude, that guy scares the hell out of me.
Yeah.
And he's on their second pairing and sometimes their third. And I'm like, that guy's so fast. Speed. The NHL has changed so much.
It's gotten fast, hasn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's ridiculous. You know, and that's why I talk about a Bickle.
He made my all-Bartnick, all-pro team.
Josi?
Yeah.
Good.
Over millions of people. Over like 30 people. I mean, I think he's amazing.
I love him.
Well, and I see what you're saying about a guy like Bickle. It's almost retro at this point because the league's gone so fast.
Yeah, and it's an element
but
you need. I agree.
You do
with
need
you.
That element. Yeah.
Certainly.
I mean,
yeah.
Teams need it more than others.
You see teams like the Flyers and the Bruins are overload on it, and you just go, dudes, that's, you know, and then they wind up skating in cement. It's terrible.
Yeah, that's old school hockey. Yeah,
the Flyers are stuck in 1975.
They just picked up that. Did they make that move for that Zach Rinaldo? Oh, no, Bruins took Zach Rinaldo off the Flyers' hands. I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Well, the reason I brought Darling up is we were talking last week about how everybody needs a good backup nowadays in goal because, you know, your first line guy, it's just a tougher season. It seems like guys go out.
Yeah.
All the time, and if somebody goes down, you better have somebody good.
And if you're going deep into the playoffs, you know, you're playing an 82-game regular season, and then the Hawks, you know, they're playing 20 playoff games, you know, and then you get 2 months off, and then you're back in camp. So it absolutely helps to have a guy who can maybe take 15 starts from your guy and give him a blow.
And with the way parity is, you can't just throw away 10 games.
True. Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Look at the Kings again. You missed the playoffs by a point last
year.
Yeah,
the Penguins made it by a point.
Right.
I mean, look at their. I mean, you know. I mean, I think the Rangers are. I don't know why they gave up on their backup. I mean, they didn't give up on him. They traded him, but
sure.
I mean, that was a mistake.
But you need a good backup. Hey, Mike, what do you think about the Kings getting Lucic?
He's another one of those Bickle types. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think he's been physical for so long. You start to wonder if that takes a toll on the way he plays the game. He's got great hands, and he should be a guy. I mean, if they, you know, if you put him out there with Getzlaf and Perry, I mean, that's going to be just this ridiculous monster.
Well, you mean
evil
Kopitar?
I'm sorry, I apologize. Yeah,
no worries.
Kopitar it's just such a big presence. You know what I mean? And with Kopitar in the corners and banging, and Lucic
Gavrik,
just parks
probably,
himself. Yeah, and Lucic parks himself in front of the net. It's ridiculous.
Goes and gets the puck for Kopitar to set up Gavrik.
Yeah. And I don't think he'll be completely re-energized here. I mean, I think he was a guy who kind of rested and got sucked into like an East Coast way of hockey in a system, and to see him out here, it's going to be amazing to watch.
There's something that guys that play with hearts on their sleeve that big. Every time Lucic wanted it, every time the Bruins could sniff it a little bit last year, like they had a chance, Lucic looked like Shanahan. And then every time it was like, oh, they're sucking around, or his center was hurt. Lucic all in is still amazing. Lucic wasn't all in half the season last year. It's a knock on him. You got to say it. But Lucic in a contract year in LA will be all in this year.
I think so.
Playing with, I mean, it's gonna be amazing. I think Luch is gonna be, he's gonna have an amazing
when
season.
When I misspoke, what I meant was him banging with Getzlaff and Perry when they were playing Anaheim and
oh,
Kings
I should say, yeah.
I got ahead of myself.
Yeah, no, you're right though. That's what they needed. They
well,
needed
him and
a little
Kessler,
more muscle. Yeah, crushing.
It's gonna be a nuclear war. Him and Kessler hate each other.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the original, like, you know.
And Kessler was a great pickup for the Ducks.
So
right?
good. And, yeah. and that Ducks series, you know, watching them, they scared the hell out of me against
the
Hawks. Yeah. They had us down 3-1, and they had those guys who were just fast, period. You know, you're just, again, which I said, speed is killing in the NHL. Yeah. Who's the dude they just traded for Carl Hagelin? They traded to the Rangers. Emerson Edom?
Yeah.
Oh, Edom's fast, isn't he?
And he's a third or fourth line dude, but he would turn the corner. Thiemannin had to tackle him like four times in that series. Again, Thiemannin's terrible. But, dude, just
no, but you're right, man. That kid's got something,
flying,
doesn't he?
Yeah.
You know, he's going to be good for the Rangers. But I like the pickup for the Ducks because the Edom's a bigger kid, and they don't need size.
Right.
So Hagelin got some more clutch.
And Hagelin's still one of the fastest.
Yeah, and he's got some clutch hands, Hagelin.
Absolutely. It was a nice trade, and Hagelin's going to play special teams for he'll be totally out there for them on both sides, you know, and it's a good trade for both of them, but Edom was one of those dudes where I didn't watch a lot of the Ducks during the season. I'd catch him periodically, but then you'd see him and you're like, oh, that dude. It was like when the Kings, Toffoli and those dudes 2 years ago, I'm going, who the hell are these
same
guys?
Same kind of deal.
So brutal.
Same kind of deal with Peterson and Toffoli. You say the same thing when you see Edom.
Exactly. You know the names, and then you see these guys, you're like, oh, we got another wave of dudes we got to worry about?
Yeah,
that's
right?
Terrible.
And they can all fly.
Yeah.
The Ducks just got, the young defenseman finally kind of wore out.
Yeah. And the goalie.
Yeah.
You know, he got a little shaky. Taves got in his head. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he did.
A couple of soft ones past him.
Right.
He looked on pins and needles. He looked a little fried. That game seven, they owned him in the first. When they scored in 2 minutes,
it was
went,
over.
All right, yeah,
well, we still couldn't figure out what happened to Getzlaff.
Yeah, why did Getz fold? He had such a great year.
It's such a great year. He's like Superman. He just looked like.
He had to be hurt, though. He had to. Those guys are always – there's always some dude – like when the Hawks beat the Bruins, you know, Bergeron's out there, and everybody's like, oh, well, he's Bergeron, Patrice Bergeron.
Yeah.
And you know, they go, oh, all of a sudden, everything's changed. What's happened to him? And then it turns out, like his liver fell out. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, my Christ. You know? But he played two games with it. You know what I mean? It's on the outside of his body.
Oh, yeah, nobody's tougher than those hockey players.
No kidding. Yeah. Tyler Johnson last year for the Lightning, and they get into the cup against the Hawks. And, I mean, I was – you know, they come at you in waves. They were flying in the
talk about fast.
Finals. Yeah. And then Johnson all of a sudden isn't the same, and he's not taking draws. Oh, he had a broken wrist for four games.
I'll tell you what.
He played.
Yeah.
Kucherov smacking his shoulder like a wrestling rink.
Yeah.
That changed the whole series because it was really a dead – it was a dead heat.
Well, the Hawks won that game one. It was, again, the thing where, you know, Tampa was really dominating the first game, and then all of a sudden, you know, you get that goal by Teravainen scores, then they make the steal and Vermette scores. You're like, oh, we won game one in Tampa. It's just – and, again, I never worried. You know, I'm sure you felt
you
that way.
You didn't really because, I was rooting for you guys.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, I don't know because that Tampa Bay team – so quick.
The Hawks are just killers.
I was rooting.
You know, you had them with the Wings. You had them with the Penguins. Yeah. You see those dynasties, and you're like, because the Hawks finish. They don't mess around. That game, the Game 7 loss to the Kings is like their only Game 7 or clinching game loss.
That is
like
what separates.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
But that's what separates the men from the boys and the champions from the also-rans, because not to rub salt in the moon, the great Mike Babcock twice had the Stanley Cup.
Talk about Lucic.
But I mean, you know, he let two series in a row. They let him right off the hook.
You know what?
The Penguins let the Rangers 2 years ago. They're up 3-1. St. Louis' mom died, and they let him come back and win like they felt sorry for. I mean, the Blackhawks, and I rode the Blackhawks. I picked them in October.
Yeah,
like I rode them. And then what they will miss was Saad, though. But it was just like all of a sudden, so when you just see it coming, when like in Game 7, it was just like, okay, here's the big boys.
Yeah, we're in
it. It was the big boys just had like three shifts, like it's over. Like back in the day, whenever, you know, like when, you know, like Lemieux. We just be like, okay, the big boys are out here.
Well, how steady is Taves? I mean,
he's ridiculous. He's Trache. He's just so great.
He is.
Trache Bossy is Kane and Taves.
He's the modern era dude.
Yeah.
And he just takes over a game.
And he owns a locker room, and everybody just goes, oh, we're going to line up behind that guy and get this done.
Pretty impressive dude.
It is, really. And it's amazing to see an influence that one man will have on an entire team. They just line up behind him, and that's so unique to hockey.
It's leadership.
It's so unique to hockey. The captain, the C changes everything. And that's why you see teams like the Sharks, when they're in flux, they take the C off Thornton, and they don't know who's going to get it. And the whole locker room doesn't know what to do.
Because that can really confuse the locker room.
Honestly, they so file behind the guy who's got the C. They follow that dude into war. They follow him into battle. Look, the coaches do the coaching. But
that's
in the locker room, your C is a policeman. he takes care of business. And to have a calming presence like a Taves or somebody, you know, they had a Dirk Graham back in the 80s. But anybody who wears the C and gets it done, you can just see the influence he has on an entire roster.
And Taves does have that calm. Yeah. It's like he knows it's going to go good.
We're just going to win. We're going to do this. They never panic. And it's an amazing thing as a fan to know that about your team. You know, when you're a Phoenix or you're a team who, you know, Columbus or a newer team or even a veteran team that really hasn't won in a long time, like the Islanders, who are just turning into somebody else, they're learning how to win. When your team knows how to win, it's such an amazing feeling that you never think you're out of it. You're just like, yeah, we're going to win this. It's not a problem. Down 3-0 in the third, that's fine. Let's get a couple and make it happen.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
No, that's right. But I'll tell you what, that Tampa Bay team was scary, aren't they?
And they're going to be scary. They got to pay Stamkos, and then they got to figure out who they're going to. Are they going to lose Kucherov? Are going to lose the? It's just again, they're going to the cap's coming for them.
Yeah,
the cap is coming for the Lightning.
You're right.
You have to win before they have to. They
Hedman
comes for you.
Really stepped up for them.
So good.
Hedman really came through in all of his pedigree.
Yeah.
As a second overall pick, he looked amazing. I am still not a Ben Bishop fan. I get crushed everywhere on social media.
Yeah, everybody.
I think the puck just hits him.
Well, he's big
Which
enough.
Is what you want.
True. But that's kind of the goal, I think.
I think if he was remotely a good goaltender, he would be downright amazing. But he plays the puck terribly.
He had a pretty good final.
He plays the game terribly.
Well, he's playing with a torn groin. Again, the same deal where you're just like, dude, he went six.
The other thing is he's injured a lot, too.
True. Well, a big dude like that flopping around, you got to hurt something, right?
Well, and that's the new style too, to have a big guy in there.
I would be. It's interesting to see what's going to happen with Stamkos because I think Stamkos is going to go.
Do you pay Stamkos, or do you right now move him for just a bucket full of everything? You know what I mean. Get all the young dudes and reload and rebuild, not rebuild. But build around your Kucherov, your Hedman, your Tyler Johnson, and those.
By the way, Stamkos is an amazing player.
He's so great. Dude, I don't know how he missed that breakaway.
That was a great save.
It was, but then he had the second crack at it. It's like, dude, you got to put the second crack
in. Not like him.
He had a little yips, you know what I mean? Like almost like a golfer. When he hit the crossbar, you saw his face. He just made this,
He's usually going to
convert. I love Stamkos. And to me, when he wasn't scoring, but he was getting nasty and crushing people and getting dirty, I had even more respect for him.
Absolutely. I have tons.
And he can get nasty.
But Lemieux and Gretzky and Jagr and Crosby and Patrick Kane, they make those goals.
Yes, they do.
You know,
score it.
The guy made a great save and smack your stick. Yeah. No.
But to Stamkos,
you celebrate and you put one in the holster and you go and you have a parade.
But to Stamkos' credit, Stamkos' credit in the locker room, inconsolable. And head down and sat in his pads for, 2 hours?
Yeah, no.
And
said,
He cares. He puts his heart into it.
I'm a big believer in trying to win. And I would keep Stamkos. And then if you lose him, you lose him. And I would, because I think Toronto is going to blow the doors off the place for
probably.
Him. So I would just I would keep him next year. And if they lose him at the end, if he wants to leave and not stay, Toronto's going to outbid everybody anyway. That's what they're gearing for.
Who
wouldn't want to play for Lamarillo Babcock?
Let's ask Mike what he thinks about the Toronto situation. Obviously, reloading for the future here, pulling out all the stops. What do you think? How long will it take?
Well, I'm an original six guy. Like I said, I don't hate teams. I can't do that. And I think the NHL's gotten lucky the past 2 years with their Final Fours. I mean, 2 years ago, it was literally L.A., Chicago, and Montreal, New York. So you're either going to get an original six final or you're going to get an L.A., New York, or L.A., Montreal. Brilliant for the league.
Yeah.
And then 2 years again, they had Chicago Bruins, you know, the original six final. And, you know, last year I'm sure they would have preferred that the Rangers would have played the Hawks. But still, I root for Toronto. I mean, I still, you know, as much as I love the Indian and the Hawks, Toronto, the jersey is just
iconic. Old school.
It's so perfect.
It wouldn't have been as fun as a series if New York won. If New York would have played Chicago.
No, I think the Hawks would have smoked them. Like they would have years
ago.
But I'm a huge fan of Toronto. I would love to see them be a powerhouse. I root for Canada. If the Hawks are out, I want whatever Canadian team is left to win the cup. I just think they are so loyal and it was invented there.
Yeah.
And I've rooted for every I mean, I don't care if it's for Edmonton, Calgary, all of those teams I love to watch. And that's why last year I was bummed Calgary had to play Vancouver in the first round and Montreal had to play Ottawa.
Yeah.
I'd rather all the Canadians like really if you want to reseed Canadians versus Americans and see what happens, you know? Because I love when Canadian teams win because
yeah, those that's cool.
And
yeah.
I want Quebec to get a franchise. I think there should be teams up there all over the place. It's just, it's such a market, and they support so much. So I would love for Toronto to be fantastic.
Do you think it's going to happen quickly, or it can't really? It's going to take a couple years.
It's going to take a few years, absolutely, yeah. But they're doing it right. You know, you bring in a Babcock, you bring in a Lamoriello, and then you get rid of a Kessel. And I think Kessel's a 40-goal scorer. I mean, I don't think he's right for a locker room of a team that's turning it around and trying to rebuild. So they did the absolute right thing in moving him. And I think he's going to bury 40 for you guys this year.
He's
going to get 40 in his sleep.
Yeah. But it's
going to get 40 with a hot dog in his
hand. And probably will.
Probably will.
Actually.
Yeah.
But he'll be re-energized completely for you guys to the point where he's just going to be a machine. But I love what Toronto's doing. I thought it was a great move. And they drafted that little magician dude in the first round from the Marlies. And he's, you know, again, you always hear that thing. They're like, he's like a little Kane. And we'll see. But again, he's 5'8 or whatever the hell he is, you know. Yeah. So I love it, man.
Smaller guys are coming back.
Johnny Hockey.
Smaller guys are getting a chance.
The Hawks brought in this, who's the kid? Panarin from Russia. He's a little guy. He's 5'11, 170, but he's going to be, they're talking already second line for that guy, like maybe Anisimov, Kane, and Panarin. And they love him. They love him. He was huge in the KHL last year. I mean, he Victor Tikhonov they brought over with him, and Tikhonov said this is the best player from the KHL.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, that's cool.
But I love Toronto, man. I hope they're great. I mean, I really do.
Well, it makes the league better, and it'd be nice to see, like you say, those fans are diehard.
Of course.
They're some of the best fans.
They pay exorbitant fees to see hockey up there.
So much so that you made up a word. Oh, my Lord.
Yeah. I'm not the brightest bulb
they're
in
actually,
the
well, you're pretty bright. But you know what? They are actually outdrawing Russell Peters, and that's the part that I can't believe. But you know what? What do you think about my boy Nyquist? Because I always have to ask.
Well, I coming in here, I have to be honest, I did not have the greatest or highest opinion of a Gustav Nyquist, but just sitting across from someone who has such love for the man, I have to be on board the Nyquist train. I cannot
Thank
turn it
you,
down.
Buddy. Thank
I
you,
am
Mike.
On board with a Gustav Nyquist.
I appreciate it.
I don't know
it.
If he belonged on your all-time roster or whatever the hell you threw him on last week.
I got a lot of criticism.
There's a first,
that,
a guest listening before he comes
but
on
I
the
appreciate
show.
That. That's, I appreciate that.
You won the all-time guest list now.
Ah, nice.
The only reason I love him so much is his skill set. He didn't have the greatest year goal wise or anything, but man, he's got a bag of tricks.
Yeah,
and you see this.
I
see
love
the
those
new,
tricky
you
guys.
You see the new wave coming. Yeah. You see the new wave coming because you need a new wave.
Yeah, you do.
I mean, you know the Witch and Zetterberg aren't getting any younger, so
no,
you need to you need to reinforce.
And I just like those fun players like you're saying, that one guy's a magician. Those kind of guys are fun to watch.
Either I'm just drinking the Kool-Aid on every team I like, or other than Mike Green, I really like what Detroit did.
Green, but I like Green.
I like Green when he's a number six defenseman you can hide. I don't like Green playing 30 minutes a game.
Well, you know what? He wins the clutch. He's a good clutch scorer, though.
Yeah. He's good on the power play. Like I said,
he's got a shot.
If he's paired with Cronwell, you're not going to be happy in January.
I think there's something to be said for stockpiling skill. And Mike Green, you know, they gave him a lot of money, and like you said, he can disappear. But
when you wear a skirt, when it starts getting sunny, when it's sunny outside and the ice is a little choppy, and you got to go back and get that puck, and here comes Lucic coming at you. Roll up your skirt, ladies.
Where are you going to find a Chelios these days?
Yeah.
Well, but you can find somebody more than Mike Green. I mean, you know.
Well, like you last week.
He lights him up at the end of the game, though. He can score a clutch goal.
Mike Green has seen as many conference final games as Ovechkin.
There's something. You were talking Ovechkin last week, and I just that goal he scored against the Rangers, I believe it was game one, maybe game two, when he came in alone, he was one-on-one with a defenseman, he did that pullback, and then kind of a weird drop step, and then whipped it past Lundqvist, and the garden went, oh! I have goosebumps talking about it, because I remember watching it, because you hear it, that there's no greater sound in hockey than the pipe, you know what I mean? And when the goal goes in and hits the thing in the back, and it's that ting! And the light comes on. It's so fantastic.
Yeah.
And to see that goal go in and to hear the Madison Square Garden, you know, the visiting crowd. Oh,
that is
so great. Yeah.
That is
well,
one
I'm
going to
give your Blackhawks a plug. And the guy I always thought who scared goalies the most was the great Bobby Hull.
Oh, sure. Well,
because he had the hardest shot ever.
Yeah, he's going to put it through him if he doesn't get it past him.
Exactly.
Sure.
And I think Ovi has that same kind of presence.
Yeah, I agree. And he's just that guy. And again, I think he's maturing even more as the years go by. It is a shame that he hasn't made conference finals. Absolutely. I think their best chance was last year. You know, they had their foot on the neck. It was a 3-1, right, on the Rangers, and they wound up losing that series.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly. And I was rooting for him. Again, I always like different. So to see the Capitals advance would have been great. And you just want to see the best players on the stage.
Ovi finally had a team and a coach and everything going their way.
Yeah.
I mean, he really, and he didn't choke. He had a goal.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Ovi.
Well, he had a great series against the Islanders. I mean,
That was the second, to me, other than Ducks, Blackhawks, that was the second best series of the playoffs.
Such a great series.
I knew it was going to be great. And I picked Washington, even though I was a big Islander fan all year. Tavares and their fourth line. If you don't like their fourth line, you don't like hockey.
Yeah, but to go out and get a Boychuk and a Letty right before the season, changed everything. You know, it's just so great.
Yeah, I mean, it's just amazing. I mean, look how, I mean, losing Boychuk, it decimated Boston.
Right.
It almost decimated you guys.
Yeah. We wound up
to go get
later.
Chemo teaming it.
Oh, that was a good pickup. Now,
what happened in Boston? I mean, it's a fire sale.
Yeah.
Well, now they got the great Zach Rinaldo, so they'll lead the league in suspensions.
Yeah, sucker punches. It's a drag. I mean, you know, I mean, but it, again, the window closes and the window closes quick. You know what I mean? When you see those guys and I. But also the problem is they turn it over to Don Murray? Is it the
Don
there?
Sweeney?
Don Sweeney.
The old him and Cam Neely. Old buddies,
right?
Never got it done.
And they stockpiled all these draft picks, and everybody thought it was because they were trying to move up and make a big move, and they couldn't move up. And then people had problems with the people they drafted in the first round. Like, I heard question marks whether two of the talents they got in the first round are even second round talents. So, hopefully, again, you always like to see those markets flourish, and they have a great fan base. But
great fan base.
Well, I think they finally figured out that Dougie Hamilton isn't Bobby Orr. It took him a couple years, but I knew that instantly. I'm like, everyone up there loved Dougie Hamilton. I'm like, he's not Bobby Orr.
Weird to hear you mention Bobby Orr when you left him off all of your all-time teams.
I couldn't believe you did that.
Astonished by that.
I never saw him play.
He's one of the best ever, wasn't he?
I never saw him play. Yeah.
Which is true, and I like that rule. That was a really good rule you had last
year. But if you ever did see him play,
you would
be impressed.
Yeah, I'd have to put...
No one was a better
skater. I'd have to put Rocket Richard if I saw Rocket. If I went by who I just knew was the greatest, it would be the same 12. Every summer would be the same 12 guys.
True. That's true.
You got to turn it up. Yeah. But I think there's something to be said for stockpiling skill. Like I said, you see it in baseball when a team they'll pick up a guy. And there's a guy, look, this happened a few years ago. The Giants picked up Cody Ross. And they got him at the midseason mark, and everybody's just like, who cares? Cody Ross is a slob. And then he hits two home runs against the Phillies, and they win in the playoffs. It's just there's something about having skill on your bench or skill, and this is why I don't think the Canadian signing Alexander Semin is as big a problem as you think it is. I heard you last week decrying that, but,
I guess you don't know who Michael Therrien is.
Well, certainly I know.
He's like Patton.
Yes.
And the other guy is like David Crosby.
But
commie sympathizer. I mean, they are gonna clash.
I hear you.
I mean, he's so not a Canadian forward. I know he can score, but he's not. He's
but you don't think he comes
those
in?
Guys that. Those Galchenyuk and
Pacioretty.
Those guys that put their face on the line. Yeah. Semin, he's better off dancing for the. He's better. He's an ice dancer.
But guys, what do you think? What do you think happened to the Canadians in the playoffs this year? I mean, you know, they faced
Subban got wigged out. I swear to God, on that first cross check, that was Dino Cicerelli would have laughed at.
Yeah.
They gave him the game misconduct, and it was kind of they were never because I thought they were going to beat Tampa because Tampa had such a hard series in Detroit. They had like a half a day's rest, and they took it to the Canadians. I don't know
speed. I literally that Tampa team was just so much faster than anybody else in the Eastern Conference. You know?
Yeah, they were. It's funny you say that though, Mike, because I mean the Canadians are fast.
They are fast. But you can see a clear demarcation between one team's speed and the other. And maybe it's young speed. I don't know how to explain it.
But that was the one team that I don't think lived up to their potential in the playoffs.
Montreal?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Well, especially coming off the previous year when they had made the conference finals.
Because they have a good team. And
sure
they do. They didn't play that
good. Maybe Pacioretty was – maybe he was rusty. He was hurt at the end of the year. I really don't know. It is a mystery.
Yeah.
It was funny because I thought like a year and a half ago, Therrien was going to wear out his welcome. But he didn't. He's been still there for a long time now. Because I love Tarion. I know, but you know, he's been known the
true. But I'm saying they're still responding.
Exactly.
Year,
so that's what I'm saying. So they're all buying in. Yes. So if you think Tarion's going to let Semin come in there,
but I say Semin changes. I say Semin changes the match. I'm all for him coming around. He knows what he's in for, and he comes in and he brings what he brings and adapts to what they want him to have. I'm all about Semin this year.
Is he on the one? He's on the 1 year contract, right?
Yes, he is.
Then he has a chance because he's good. He's good on. As soon as he signs a, if he has a 2 year contract, you guarantee he is on the an IR for half of
true.
The second season.
But now, this first year, he's here to prove himself. I think it works. I'm all for him.
Now, who do you think's the best goalie in the league?
Oof.
Right now,
yeesh.
I know you like Crawford after that last finals.
True, but we know he's not the best.
Yeah,
for one game though, he's pretty good.
He was.
What do you think of Price? Yeah.
Carey Price is amazing. He's ridiculous. But I will say this: you know, last year in that playoff series, he really started to look frustrated against Tampa because they were coming at him in waves, and it looked like their defense couldn't keep them off.
I didn't want to say that in front of Frasch, but I don't think Carey Price had his best playoffs either.
I can't blame him for the loss though.
You can't. I mean, he wasn't the most incredible.
Well, there were a couple of times when they came in there was like I think it was game three when Tampa came in on like four different 3-on-1, 3-on-2 rushes, and he had his head on. He looked like the goalie in Slapshot when he gets in the locker room. He's like, and he's got the shakes. I mean, Price didn't know what to do. I mean, he just because there's so many people coming.
I think they caught a lot of people off guard.
True.
They made Subban look stupid a couple times.
Yes, they did.
You know, it's hard to do.
They were super fast, and I don't think people were ready for them.
It just was wild to watch.
They weren't at all. I mean, because that's still when Stamkos wasn't even scoring. That second line just carried them. I mean, second line just schooled them. And then what were they going to do? Not put their number one team against, I mean, they couldn't play Subban. You can't say, well, we're not going to worry about Stamkos.
No.
You have to, at that point, let the second line beat you. You're not going to just say, okay, well, we'll let Stamkos beat us.
But it was fun to watch Tampa come of age every single round of the playoffs.
It was, I was a little worried for you guys, honest. You weren't, but I was a little worried going in because I saw how they were. Everybody else was a little bit back on their heels.
I was excited to play them. I mean, I that was because, again, it was new blood and it was different. And also the game they played really kind of matched up well with the Hawks. And then game one, I was like, oh, no, they might be faster and they're coming at us pretty good. But
that's what I thought.
But the Hawks just get it done.
Hawks settled down.
Yeah. You had to be happier to see Ben Bishop and not the King, though.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Clearly.
I mean, you can't say, well, as much as I think Tampa is a better team, you don't want to say, well, we got to go to the Garden four times and play,
regular season games.
Do you think the King's the best? Do you think he's still the best goaltender?
No, I he's in the top five.
Yeah.
I
love him. I mean, he's an amazing player.
He's great.
It's hard to argue with Quick. I mean, there's just so much out there, and these guys get it done.
Rask still is good too. I don't think he had the best year last year, but I think he was kind of shell shocked. They had some weak defensemen. He was getting hazed that first couple months of the season when they had all those injuries hit. I mean, he was getting a suntan from the red light. I mean, he's
a good goalie.
He's talking about getting shell shocked. I mean, Rask didn't know what to do.
True.
I mean, he had a rough. But I think Rask. Carey Price. A couple episodes ago, we had like the numbers. Carey Price had better numbers than Dryden, Plant, and Waugh.
Yeah, that's insane.
How do you even do that?
Yeah, no, I don't know.
I mean, so I think you got to give it to Carey Price, but they didn't have his best. It's going to be interesting, man. It's going to be an interesting.
Now, what do the Kings do about Voinov being gone? Because it doesn't look like he's ever coming back, and probably shouldn't. How do they fill that defensive void?
They should have got Paul Martin. I don't know what they were thinking. They let San Jose sign Paul Martin.
Well, and then they also lost, I couldn't even tell you the guy's name, Sequeira. The deadline guy they
people
got.
People liked him, though. I don't know. I don't think he was the answer. I don't think he...
But in losing a Voinov, you would have liked to have kept him so you could have some stability in your top four.
Exactly.
And now you're going to have to try to compensate for that. So it'll and again... I really think having the summer off is going to help that team. They're going to come back with fresh legs.
Yeah, I think that was part of their problem last year. They were wiped out from that playoff run.
And they're going to have all the 70s will be back. I don't like the inverse of what Chicago did. They signed a lot of their 70s. They signed Nolan and a couple other guys, the third and fourth liners, that to like nice 3-year contracts. Never a fan of that. That's what the Penguins did, you know. And look what happened to them. You've won 3 cups since. Yeah. I don't think your 3rd and 4th liners should. I think they should be living in a hotel. I don't think they should know that they're always there. Right. Like I think you should always have it where, like, hey, you could be in the minors, you could be sent to Edmonton. Yeah. I don't think it should be where everyone gets a 3-year contract. Hey, everyone's, you know, it's like, no, I think they sign a lot of those guys are worth it. Nolan, unless I just like Nolan and think he could be on a different, like a Penguin or something.
Well, there's something to be said for churn, you know, that you've got your top level and then underneath it, you're always moving in bodies. You're moving guys out, especially in such a banging game as hockey, to always have that kind of level of things where you're bringing it like Garbutt. You know, when the Hawks got Garbutt, everybody's like, well, they're going to just dump Garbutt right away. I'm like, no, they're not. They're going to use that dude and it's going to be great.
That's what I mean about, you know, as much as we love Saad, I think having like maybe 5 guys instead of 2 might help out in the end.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, Garbutt can play.
Yeah, and look.
And they're going to be good in the future, those kids they got.
Yeah. Mark O'Donnell.
Mark O'Donnell's awesome.
I'm really excited. Yeah. And Anisimov, they gave the big deal to him. They've been looking for a big center for a really long time. So to play with Kane, I'm excited. I mean, I thought what they did was great. I didn't want to lose Saad, but I thought they got a decent haul.
I think it brings
him
some fresh energy.
Certainly, and a great haul for a guy, because I never thought you would be able to get anything for him because you knew he was either just going to sign a contract and leave, or and to be able to give a Columbus team first crack at him and they were willing to give dudes up, I'm happy for it.
Sure, because if you get into free agency, those guys can just go and you get nothing.
Yeah.
I think the Kings are going to have a couple young defensemen coming up. You know, they won the minor league, they won the Calder Cup.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to have a, I don't know, I'm not big on minor league hockey and the prospects, but I think they're going to have some guys coming in, because I think that was the biggest thing was last year was because of Voinoff, they, Dowdy was exposed. Not exposed as anything, but he played too much.
Yeah.
He can't play 30 minutes a game.
Only one guy can, and that's Duncan Keith.
That's right.
Yeah, but because Keith doesn't, other than the great goal he scored up ice.
That's still my favorite goal ever.
Yeah. So fantastic.
He doesn't play, you know, when you're tired, and hockey is the worst game to play tired. You make bad decisions, and you make bad decisions on the ice. And Dowdy made a ton of them last year.
Right. As good as he is.
Yeah, as good as he's he fantastic. Is. I mean, he's still
he's a great player.
Yeah, but you can't play all that.
No, you're
all,
right. You
all
did,
the
yeah.
time, and
yeah.
that really hurt them. You know, his partner didn't have that great of a year either. He was hurt half the time. I'm really out of it.
Well, Regier, your old buddy.
Well, Regier, thank God he retired. Jake Muzzin did not have a good season last year. He was hurt at the beginning of the year.
They all had a fog, like a playoff fog. And again, they'd been through so many wars.
It was like a hangover. They were wiped out.
Stahl had a fog.
Yeah, well, he had a hangover too.
Yeah.
They looked like they thought they could turn it on, and that what killed them was, like, you know, the young legs in Calgary. You know, and Johnny Hockey and those guys. I mean, I thought that they felt, well, you know, we'll assert ourselves when the time
that's
comes.
But it's hard to do that against the young legs.
Exactly.
Well, that's exactly what killed them, was they never thought the Calgary would be around at the end.
Right.
Who did? I mean, you think, okay, Vancouver, maybe. But even the Sharks fell. So, I mean, the Kings had no idea that Calgary's going
to
be that good.
No, and that's so fun to watch when you see a Calgary team.
Yeah. I love Johnny Hockey.
So great.
I can't believe how they smoked Vancouver, too.
It was beautiful.
I mean, I was like, I picked Vancouver in that series. I couldn't believe. I mean, Vancouver laid down like dogs.
Hey, I've said it before. I think Johnny Hockey did everything Johnny Manziel was supposed to do.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Right,
you know, and to see a Winnipeg team just come back and be great, and the Wild put on that stamp. I love hockey. I'm a Blackhawk guy, but to see teams like Winnipeg and those teams,
it's exciting. It's an exciting league, isn't it?
And again, in Canada too.
How great too? What I thought was amazing, which is another reason why I love them. Frazier loves them. Is Bufflin just taking over that team and saying, "Kane, you're a moron. Get out of here." That's leadership.
True.
And look how they all were like, you know, Kane was one of their best players. They got better.
Yeah.
Bufflin had a great year.
They came together in the wake of that incident.
Yeah.
And they could have been torn apart.
Yeah.
But instead, they went, you know what? Let's move this guy and let's move forward without him. And then they all fucking came together and made it happen.
Yeah. They really did. I mean, that Central's a beast.
It's evil. It's so rough to watch. And we get rid of you. We lose the Red Wings. And I'm like, oh, things will be okay. And then everybody else just reloads and they come at catch in waves. It's just crazy to watch. It's rough, but I mean, it's fun. But at the same time, I mean, the Hawks had 103 points last year, and you know they finished third.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
We even talked about the Blues. You know what I mean?
The Blues got Captain Kangaroo, so they're gonna.
They had a great year, but they're always the same deal.
They can never do it when it matters. Tarasenko's great, though. He may put
that guy's awesome.
He may carry them.
Yeah, that guy's awesome.
I guess Kangaroo got one more year.
Shattenkirk. That's what I mean. They have young in place.
I don't know about those defensemen. All you hear about are those defensemen. They play great for Team Canada because they got the 12 best forwards in the world on their. You know what I mean?
And the best goalie behind them. They have no goalie in St. Louis. They still can't decide. They got three dudes on a carousel.
I mean, they brought Brodeur in.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, they're best goaltenders in the press. Best goaltenders is the assistant GM. But I still think Hitchcock, I just think Hitchcock, you play that defense, you play that way, and then come to playoffs, then everyone can score.
They freeze.
And then it's like they don't know what to do.
I guess they do freeze. What do you think it is? Is that... Do they burn themselves out in the regular season?
Well, I think Joe is saying, you know, your style in the regular season, it gets you there, but then in the playoffs, there's that secret sauce or whatever you got to do to adapt to play differently, and they never do. They continue to play, and they're the true arbiters of, hey, you know, we're going to just play our game and see what happens. Well, guess what? You're going to get knocked out in the first round every year.
Yeah. It's the inverse of the Penguins in a way. The Penguins play, hey, everyone, hey, look, Sid's in town. Hey, we're going to run and gun and have fun. And then they get a couple power play goals, and then people want Malkin's autograph. It's 5-3, and they go home to the next town. And then they wonder in the playoffs, wait, everyone's playing defense and checking us. What's wrong? Same thing in St. Louis is, four big lines, stifling defense. No one's allowed. It's a trap. People are like, how the hell with it? We'll lose 2-1. We don't care.
Yeah.
And then they come to the playoffs, everyone's playing defense.
That is the difference.
It's like, everyone's playing a 2-1 game. Now, how are we going to score? Oh, we don't know how to score because we keep running the same 10 guys out.
So those run-and-gun teams don't do so well when everybody clamps down with the D.
Unless you have overwhelming talent, which, you know, sometimes they do.
And speed. I can't bring that up enough. It's just
the game
has changed so much from when I was
Tampa
kid.
Did.
Oh, it seems like it's a different game. It's unbelievably fast. There's so many fast players in the league.
And you see guys that maybe, you know, were amazing and might even be Hall of Famers. Like, I grew up in the 80s. So, I mean, I grew up watching a Steve Larmer who played with the Hawks. He was an undersized forward, but he would score 40 goals. He was just amazing. But then you wonder if you plugged him into today's game, who is he? Is he a third-line dude? Is he a fourth-line dude? Does he even get run because he's not fast? He wasn't the best skater. He was just a guy with a nose for the net who was able to put goals in and was lucky enough to play with a Dennis Savard who got him the puck all over the place.
Well, you find yourself asking that question a lot. How would the old guys fit into today's game?
Larmer had such great hands.
He did.
He was just a hockey player.
Yeah, and I was happy he got a cup.
But remember this, too. You got a guy like Bobby Hull who was not only had the hardest shot ever, was the fastest clocked, fastest skater ever.
Yeah.
So you still had old school guys who could fit in.
And also could punch your teeth out of your face.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you had
to. But I mean, Bobby Hull, though, I mean, that's like, he's on the next Mount Rushmore.
And I've never seen anyone.
That's like saying Joe DiMaggio. I think he'd fit in, you know.
But I'm saying speed-wise, he could keep up with those kids easy.
Yeah.
And, you know, and a guy like Orr, I've never seen a better skater ever than Orr.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Yep.
So fast, so fluid too. And that's, you know, that's the thing that Saad. I'm not comparing him to Bobby Orr, but he's one of those. He's a big dude, but then all of a sudden he'd get a step on you and he's gone. That weird kind of deceptive speed out of a big dude, and that's crazy about the game,
especially when he's shorthanded.
Yes,
that first step is goodbye.
Yeah, and he pinches or somebody else pinches and they catch a defenseman napping and gone, just gone.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And all he's got to do is make the move and beat your goalie, and you're finished, and you're down 1-0 or 2-0 or 2-1. It's great. So that's an element that you don't see a lot of guys bring to the game. That's why I was so disappointed to lose him, but they got a great haul back for him.
Yeah. Now, what about Connor McDavid? The kid this year that everybody says is going to be the big.
I'm excited. I was disappointed again. Like I said, I talk about franchises. Like, I would have loved Buffalo to get that pick because I'm a huge Sabres guy. I think the crest. I love the jersey. I loved, you know, the Richard Martin Rene Robert and all those guys from when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I've always been a Sabres guy. I think Buffalo, you know, they got hosed in the cup against the Stars.
Oh, they got hosed. They just so wanted bad. To go to the league. Just wanted to go to bed.
It was terrible. Such a
disappointment. I went on stage at 8. And I mean, at the West Coast, you know, I was at Tommy T's. I'll never forget it. And then I watched the game till like 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Wow.
You know, and they just said, I mean, and it was the most bogus rules anyway, but then they were such hard asses all year about it. And then the one time it mattered, they're like, yeah,
that's fine.
And that's how Captain Kangaroo won his cup too. Over the great Lindy Ruff.
Yeah. You'll never forget that, man.
Yeah. But that was just BS.
It was. Well, I think Conor McDavid is going to be a monster. Obviously, everybody does. I don't think I'm talking out of school there, but I would have loved again in Buffalo to get him.
What about Jack Eichel?
He's a nice pretty darn good, right? Sure, and everybody's calling him, you know, comparing him to a Taves and things like that. So it was 6-1. You know what I mean? But McDavid is supposedly the generational
elite
talent.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So I'm pissed Edmonton got him. I mean, I good for them, and I love Canada and all that, but come on.
They've had every number one. Exactly. It would have been fun to see, but I think Eichel's going to do well. They say he's
good. I think so, too. Yeah.
I think Eichel's going to do well. You know, if the league protects him, if the league, you know, wants him to be a big shot, he'll have it good.
Yeah.
If the league... I mean, look at the difference, the people they protect and the people they don't. I mean, they let, you know, Lindros get killed.
Yeah.
And he was done.
Well, apparently Edmonton's talking to Semenko again.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. Bring him in. Yeah. Nick Sorley, bring him back. Just build a wall around the kid.
Yeah.
You know, but they have a couple of guys that are going to protect them a little bit. It's a different league now. But you know what I mean? Even just the clutching and the grabbing. If they let the kid get through center ice without getting chipped.
Yeah.
You know, which is coming back. What do you feel about that? I mean, I think the untalented people, the untalented teams, love back throwing it back to the pre-lockout. As a Penguin guy, and I know with your speed and your team, I mean, I want the game called like it was a couple years ago.
Yeah, I want hockey.
Yeah.
Hockey would be nice. You know what I mean?
No, because they're chipping. They're doing the same BS of the other defenseman comes over, yes, slows the game down. It's like it's...
Well, the Kings do that, and they do it very well. You know, Sutter's that guy who he disguises it, but that he brings it, and it's the exact same game we watched the Devils win the Cup with forever.
Yeah, the old trap.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so I love to see my team break out of the zone in 3 seconds and be up and in your face. And I think the Cup this year really lent itself to a lot of that. Both the Hawks and the Lightning were just bursting out of their zones. And
that
was
a fun
to
series to
so
watch.
So great,
yeah.
It was terrific. Instead of watching a lot of guys just kind of getting pinched and, you know, and the trap. And
the fast game's more fun.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so because my team is fast.
Yeah.
If my team was not fast, I would want to just see guys throwing elbows and crushing guys.
Poor,
you know,
old Bickle.
Exactly.
I still love him.
And I'm a fan. I mean, again, I don't want to turn on him, but I mean, he's just, if he can bring back to what he did in the playoffs 2 years ago, absolutely, I love him. You need presence in
front of
that.
Isn't it funny, once someone wins you a ring, you love him no matter what?
Of course.
You know?
Yeah, he'll never buy a meal in that town.
Exactly.
Yeah. He's Brian Bickle.
It's like, it's like, that's what I tell my wife, like, when they go, like they're made forever now.
Yes.
Like, they're, like, the guys that win cups are the guys that become the announcers.
Yeah.
The ambassadors. Like,
especially
those
in that town.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude, Chicago, forget
they love
it.
You.
I mean, the 85 Bears still, to this day, run that town.
Oh, sure.
Literally. Emery Moore, like some guy was like, hey, Emery Moore had built my deck. He was like a tight end. You know what I mean? They buy businesses. They do it at car dealerships, and you'll always go there. They will always print money.
Yeah, that's right.
A title in a town like that, you print money.
Yeah,
that's right.
It's the best. Oh, Mike, great job,
Mike.
So
awesome, you're awesome,
you, man.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah, thanks.
You're in the on the road, you're in the rotation now. You came in the summer.
He was terrific.
You helped us with summer.
Let's talk about the book, though. What's going on?
Yeah.
Well, that was a book I wrote for Comedy Film Nerds. It's a website where they got a bunch of comedians who watch movies and they reviewed them, and then they said, well, let's put out a book. So Alan Havey, who I'm sure you know,
our friend Alan
wrote some chapters in it. My friends Graham Elwood, Chris Mancini, me, Jackie Cation, who's also a very funny comedian.
Those are all great people.
Yeah, so we all wrote chapters for the book. I wrote the comic book movie chapter, and I wrote the sports movie chapter. And it's available through comedyfilmnerds.com. They've got all their merch and stuff like that there.
So
I wrote that book, and then that's available. So go ahead and get that if you want it.
Awesome. And you were a great guest.
Well, thanks.
Very
man.
Fabulous guest.
Yeah.
We got a big tap of the stick to our program director, Sean.
Yeah, Sean.
He said, we're going to get Mike Schmidt. We're going to get Mike Schmidt. and I
thank you, by the way, because I had to cancel a couple times. I was in an accident and all sorts of nonsense, but you made room for me, and I do appreciate it.
Are you okay on all that? Is that all right?
Yeah, my car's officially dead, but I'm okay. My jaw's back working, so that's all that works.
Wow.
you're
all right, and you were a terrific guest.
Yeah, terrific. I mean, really a terrific guest.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
You. Really good. And what do you got coming up?
Some sets at the store and flappers and yada yada. And my book actually is hitting hardback. You might be a douchebag book. is officially out. The hardback is officially
out. It's out, man.
Yeah, I'm an author, too.
That's, look at you.
Yeah, look at you two guys. Hey. Wow, I better write something quick.
Yeah. That's weird, yeah. So, but yeah, it's the best-selling ebook is now Triple the Fun. It's a book. It's a book. I wrote a book, Ma.
I love it.
Can I be a
that.
Guy who throws another plug in? I hate to be that.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Great guests like you. Plug all you want, dude.
So nice. I'll be at the Los Angeles Podcast Festival in September, which is, I believe, the 17th through the 19th. If you want to buy tickets or buy the live streaming, you can go to lapodfest.com. And if you use the code BOY, B-O-Y, all lowercase, I get money. So
yeah, there you go.
Tickets are there. I'll be doing a live show there. And you can always go to MikeSchmidtComedy.com. And my podcast, The 40-Year-Old Boy, is available. All of that neat stuff. So thank you again for letting me say that stuff. Thank you.
It's our pleasure, buddy.
Thank you. And Frazier, I gotta say, I mean, every night I was out doing sets this weekend. I was in LA and you were rocking KLOS.
Oh,
it was
thank
great,
you
dude.
Buddy
it
thanks
was, it
man
was awesome.
I had a nice little run there.
Yeah, gave
me about 5 days in a row and it was really fun. So
playing the good tunes, man.
Well, they're rocking now in KLOS.
Yeah,
and,
they're rocking.
And I had fun doing that. And please check out my Sunday night show every week, 10 till 2. My guest this week, Steve O from Jackass.
Wow.
He's going to try his most dangerous stunt. He's going to use Donald Trump's hair as a half pipe. So it should be fun. We hit all the staple guns. And
I was
going to
say, what's
that.
Your balls there?
With yeah. That's why we hit the staple guns.
Yeah.
But please check that out. And thank you so much, gang, for joining us on Puck Off. For Joe Bartnick, Mike Schmidt, this is Frazier Smith. We are out.